Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 509. It's the 24th of June, 2014. Of course, a date now that will always be synonymous with the day the UK left the EU. And I was surprised by it. Even though I voted leave, I didn't think people would. It just shows you the strength of feeling. And I say this because, you know, most people, when they're quite comfortable in a situation, are happy with the status quo. Unfortunately, it's not a status quo. The EU project is ever-evolving. They're taking on new countries. And if you are part of the EU, as far as money is concerned, you're either a net giver or net receiver. We, because our economy is strong, one of the strongest in Europe, are a net giver to the tune of around about 10 billion a year. Now, this is going to get worse. We're going to pay more and more as new economies are brought on. And that's why it's not status quo. This is an ever-evolving, deepening project. And it's very expensive for us. Very expensive. I simplify it in this way. It's like putting money into a failing bad business. If you check out the economies of the European Union, they're not doing well at all. We are. And we have this, you know, financial anchor hooked to us that's dragging us backwards. That's what I believe. That's why I voted leave. And I've had people say on Facebook, oh, you've ruined the economy. No, I believe our economy will thrive. That's why I did it, based purely on economics. We have a huge amount of talented people in this country. And we've gone through recession, world war, and thrived. And I still believe this will be the case. That's why I voted leave. Anyway, on the podcast today, someone joining me who agrees with me, or I agree with him. And that's David Burke, MBE, market legend, city legend. Gives the reasons why he voted to leave and where he thinks now we will go with the UK and the EU. Also on the podcast, I have market analyst with Spreadex, Connor Campbell. And he reflects on the volatile markets over the last few hours and describes where his clients' money is going next. Also, Nicola Duke, technical analyst. Should be looking at the FTSE. We're not doing stocks today. There's no point. And I haven't got any stocks. One CEO on, that's all. That's a CEO who believes this is a positive thing for his company. But Nicola, we're looking at the FTSE, all gold, and Forex pairs, sterling against dollar, sterling euro. And also, I have Lincoln Moore, who emailed me early this morning and said, listen, this is a good thing for us, you know. And if you want me to come on and tell you why, I will. So Lincoln Moore from Decal Oil, DKL, will be describing why the Brexit is good for him.
The Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is city legend David Bick, MBE. Thank you for joining me, David.
Great pleasure.
Now, I know you're a big supporter of the Leave campaign. I voted Leave as well. Can you tell me your thoughts of why you thought it was a good reason to leave and what your thoughts are now, David?
The good reason to leave is that I believe that the European Union is undemocratic and unaccounted for, and it is a dream that is completely flawed. I also believe that many of the main countries within the European Union have got significant issues, and if you think about it, within the next year, the following could lose their jobs. Firstly, April of next year, François Hollande will no longer be president of France. It's unlikely that Angela Merkel will make the cut in October of next year. Then Portugal, Mr. Costão, has failed to put a real government together. We move across to Spain, and there we have Rajoy, who again is still waiting to form a government. The Mr. Renzi, or Senior Renzi, should I say, of Italy, is sitting on a knife edge, as is Mr. Tsipras in Greece. This is not the sort of arrangement that we want as the fifth largest trading company in the world to be entirely reliant upon to negotiate our deals when we're more than capable of doing it ourselves. There are also the other thing is that I believe we need not only our sovereignty but our ability to make our laws. And I can't deal at all with the European Court of Justice. The European Court of Justice is omnipotent, and I'm very confident that until what has happened today may well make the European Union sit up and take note, but they were not for reforming, and I think that's been made very clear. And we're heading down the road of federalism, which simply doesn't suit this country at all.
Okay, and now onto the markets. We had a very volatile start. It was down at almost 9%. FTSE 100 down 9%. It's bounced back now, almost down 4.5%. Now, we've got, obviously, David Cameron resigning off the back of the Leave vote winning. I mean, there's going to be some uncertainty for a while, isn't there?
Significant, but unfortunately, I think one of the reasons for these extremely volatile exchanges was the high-octane rhetoric from both parties. And again, at the top of the pile was Project Fear, and some of the rhetoric about what was going to happen, that it was Sodom and Gomorrah and, you know, the end of the world and the rest of his nigh, I'm afraid exacerbated the problem. So when we saw it likely that the UK was going to come out of the European Union, the pound dropped like a stone from 150 down to 135. It's recovered a bit of poise now, around 138, I think. It's about 7% down. The FTSE opened up, as you say, 549 points down at, my memory serves me right, 5,788, which is still 230 points higher than it was on the 10th of February, let me remind everybody. Mm-hmm. And it's now currently down about 275 points at 6,060. The area that worried me most was, of course, the banking sector, where Barclays was down at 1.30% and Lloyds 20%, and they're now down both, I think, about 17%. We had a brilliant presentation from Mark Carney, the governor of the Bank of England, who was a most statesmanlike performance. And he reassured everybody by saying the banking sector had actually taken on £130 billion worth of extra capital in recent months, and that they would pass any stress test of this nature at the moment, and that there was plenty of liquidity in the market. And he left everybody in no doubt that if the pound at the right time needed any supporting, or there was a require of some monetary policy like another cut in interest rates, which I don't think he's got any interest in doing at all, he was there. And I think that was very, very reassuring. And I think that's the major reason why the market recovered some of its poise.
Yeah. And what do you say to people now, though, who say we're now fundamentally weaker as an economy outside Europe?
Faint heart never won fair lady. You've been given an opportunity over the next 2 years to renegotiate some very simple trade deals. Maybe we can persuade the best of the rest of the world that the single market is not the only thing on God's earth. What we want is to be, Justin, is to be part of a free market all the way around the world. To hell with these tariffs. We don't want people like China to get on top of us by flooding their stuff in our market at ridiculous prices that prices us out. But we want to be able to do business at a level that is geared on what the price is, what the delivery is, and what the quality is, and not what the politicians tell us.
Yeah, and one final thing. Were you actually, I voted Leave, I know you did, and you're a campaigner for it, but were you surprised as the result?
Yes, I was. Very surprised, and I think perhaps it wasn't anything to do, maybe of a pie of 100%, 70% was down to wanting to come out of the European Union. You know what? I think the other 30% was an anti-establishment vote. They got very annoyed at being frightened.
Yeah, yeah. But, well, I mean, just one final thing. What do you say to people now, investors, looking at their portfolio, they're seeing their screens are red, they're panicking a bit, there's uncertainty ahead. I mean, you know, how do you reassure those people?
That nothing really fundamentally has changed for 2 years, that there's a lot of work to be done. There will be a little volatility going down the road without any doubt. If you're an investor in the FTSE 100, well, if the pound's been trashed, and when you consider that 65 to 70% of the companies are dollar orientated in the FTSE 100, eat, drink, and be merry. No point being completely negative. Sentiment has gone negative, and I'm not saying it's all over. But what I am saying is, what goes down eventually comes up.
Yeah, exactly. And we always see overreactions, you know, like this. So, and if you're a long-term investor, like I said, times like this, it can prove a buying opportunity if you have some spare capital there. So, excellent. Thank you very much, David, for spending time. I know you're a very busy man today, but thanks for coming on.
Great pleasure. All the best.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Wade.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Connor Campbell from Spreadex. Thanks for coming on, Connor. Short notice.
No worries. It was all very exciting. Anything I can do to help?
Now, I just heard that you had a team on 24 hours there, because it was pretty hectic overnight. I was watching, you know, on telly, and for a long time, in fact, a couple of days now since that YouGov poll came out, the markets and everyone had it priced in that Remain was going to win, didn't they?
Yeah, this entire week, the markets, after that Monday surge, the markets have had this very carefree carefree attitude towards the referendum, it seemed, especially during yesterday. There weren't the big panicky scenes that could have expected ahead of a referendum that has so much uncertainty surrounding it. The market seemed to have priced in Remain win and sort of then just left it at that. You know, we saw, you know, even after hours trading, the pound climbed to 1.5 against the dollar, you know, the highest it's been, you know, the entire year. You know, there was a lot of confidence, it seemed, in the markets themselves that Remain was going to win,
do I understand, Colin, is this that we've had loads of polls come out and they've been quite bearish, and like you said, end of last week or whatever it was, and this YouGov poll came out and it started rallying, and I tweeted, I said, hang on a sec, we've had lots of polls, I don't understand this. Why is this YouGov poll, which is sampled, I think, less than 5,000 people, why has that almost transformed the market? And at one point, I think 3.3% the footage is up at the start of the week on this, you know, all this Remain confidence. And I even tweeted last night, I said, well, it looks like the markets are convinced here. Even the pound, you know, is up at the dollar. What level was it at one point? It peaked at what level?
I think 1.5 against the dollar, which is huge.
And I was thinking, I don't understand this. I said, if the markets are always right, how do they know? I said, we'll soon find out in the next 6 hours. And that was at midnight. And then all of a sudden, it was getting stronger and stronger. Indicated prices were getting stronger. And then we had results from, like, Newcastle, which should have had a very strong Remain result. And it didn't. It did win. The Remains were in the lead, but not by a lot. And then all of a sudden, we saw a couple more of these happening. And the pollsters were saying, oh, hang on, these should have been a lot stronger results. And it started dropping off. And the pound started getting weaker. And like I said, even I remember seeing the FTSE indicated opening price at like up 90 points. All of a sudden, within half an hour, it was down minus 90. And I thought, wow, the markets have got it wrong, or the pundits have got it wrong. I mean, what's the feeling been like there at SpreadX?
We've seen, like, from our, we offered political, you know, spreads on the referendum for the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. And we've seen we saw a lot of clients backing Remain, be it on the binary index or fixed odds or Remain vote share. We saw the majority of our clients backing the Remain vote. Mm. However, on the financial side of things, we did see a fair amount of our clients, you know, shorting the FTSE and the DAX and the Dow and the currency, you know, the major currency pairings that have been affected by the referendum decision. So people that have been taking out these short-term positions obviously have done, you know, quite well to very well. In the last, you know, 10 hours. Mm-hmm. You know, those clients that maybe, you know, were the hottest on getting those positions in. Clients with perhaps, you know, that have held longer positions that maybe didn't adjust for this result, you know, or were factoring in a Remain vote, you know, have been caught out by it, you know, because we saw an incredibly sharp drop. Even though the markets have recovered somewhat from their pretty, you know, horrific lows, it's still a chunk, you know, the FTSE falling 4-5%, it's still a chunky loss, even if it's not as bad as the 9-10% we saw in the early hours of trading.
Yeah. So what's it like now? What are people looking at the moment? What's taking people's interest? Do they see a bottom in the FTSE, or what's going on here? What are they looking at?
You know, of course we've seen plenty of sellers. However, there is this, you know, this fairly healthy strand of buyers about the FTSE and about cable that have been, you know, I think buying up those lows, you know, and they, you know, just a short position from if you're buying at those, you know, the morning's very lows, you've seen it, you know, the FTSE harvest losses so far. I think people are, you know, looking to try and make some money off these, you know, wild fluctuation seen today, and, you know, the slight recovery. It almost seems that David Cameron's resignation came at the same time as the market started to recover, and perhaps that introduced, although you wouldn't think it, introduced maybe a crumb of stability into the markets, because, you know, if we'd spent the rest of the day wondering if Cameron was going to resign, you could have seen a bit more volatility than we have. But Cameron coming out, you know, very early in the day, saying he's going to resign, but saying he'd still be there in autumn, giving, you know, this 3-month period to find a new leader of the Tory party, I think has introduced what, you know, passes as stability and, you know, in terms of today's otherwise incredibly uncertain day of trading.
Yeah. I'd said David Bwick on, and he was saying that he thinks that, you know, a very good speech by Mark Carney saying, we had planned for this, even though they didn't want it to happen. But of course, it was in their planning. And so he has introduced a raft of measures, you know, stress tests and all this. So he said that was a, you know, stabilising factor, he thought. And it's odd, when I saw the market down, like you said, almost at the start of open, 9% down, and it came out to 8.5% down. And then when Cameron, you know, announced his resignation, I thought he was going to go lower, and it didn't. You know?
That was my initial thought. You know, I was, you know, writing my morning comment this morning saying that, you know, that we could see another wave of sellers when Cameron, you know, likely announced his resignation. A few minutes later, he did, and, you know, the market seemed to sell a bit and pick themselves off a bit. I think it might, like I said, got that issue out of the way quickly. You, hot on the heels of that, you had Carney coming out and saying, I think, £250 million in, you know, try to inject liquidity into the markets. I think initially, you know, the Bank of England had produced that statement that was fairly insipid at the very, very start of the day and just said they were going to, you know, provide stability for the markets. And I think that likely shook people because there wasn't a lot of clarity in that. Mark Carney then coming out and, you know, slightly outlining a slightly more specific plan, again, likely helped shore up the markets and reduce the losses we'd seen. Yeah. Obviously, it's still, these are all relative things. It's still a pretty bad situation out there. The banks are still getting a hammering. But, you know, the major indices have seen their losses shrink somewhat.
Yeah. Well, there's still, I think, obviously, uncertainty ahead. We haven't got a Prime Minister, but we have got for next 3 months. But, I mean...
Oh, of course.
Know, and so, I mean, for you guys, you must be looking forward to it because the volatility is where you're making money, isn't it?
Yeah. Obviously, we don't want our clients to be wiped away. But
no.
Obviously, from our perspective, volatility is good. Anything that increases trader activity is always good.
Yeah. Well, when I say for you guys, I mean for traders as well. Traders love volatility, don't they? Because it's not about, you know, trying to be right. It's just, you know, it makes sure you have both sides covered, essentially, isn't it? And going with it, because if the market's flat and going nowhere, it's boring. But if it's a bit of
like we saw with our clients today, there's money to be made in those short-term trades where you're, you know, the FTSE halves its losses and then you've made a decent whack of money through that short-term trade. I think for a while it might be difficult to outline any kind of long-term positions because I imagine the next few weeks. You've also got, you know, the Spanish election coming this weekend, which is, you know, potentially another bout of volatility going into next week. But, you know, we've already seen the European indices, you know, beyond the FTSE suffer quite heavily this morning. If there's what the markets see as the wrong result from the Spanish election, you know, there could be even more volatility come Monday morning.
Well, listen, well, I have to get you on. I think we do a regular thing once a week, maybe looking out for the significant news date of that week. Do you fancy doing that?
Yeah, that sounds brilliant.
Marv's, Connor, speak next week. Have a nice weekend.
See you next week. Thank you. Bye.
The Box Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
It's a Friday. It's not any old Friday, though. It's a Brexit Friday. But joining me, as always on a Friday, it's the lady with the technicals, the Duchess of the Chart. It's Nicola Duke. You're right, Nick.
Hello. Can you believe it?
Yeah, well, I don't know how much... Do you see a lot? Listen, this was my routine last night. I know I have to get up at sort of 4:45 in the morning, all right? I know the results. Normally, I try and get to bed by 9. I know the results are going to start, or the polling stations finish at 10, and I did the silly thing of sitting down thinking, I'll watch the first half an hour of this. Of course, we're not going to get any results in the first half an hour. So I thought, I'll wait for 11 o'clock. And it started trickling in. And it's like starting to watch a film, then finding it hard to go to bed because a couple of things happened. And, you know, when we first started, the markets were ridiculously pricing in, you know, Remain. I thought, really bullish on the Remain side. And I thought, I tweeted, how do the markets know this? You know, how do they know it's going to be? Because no one really knew. And then we had the Newcastle result, which should have been a big win for Remain. Didn't happen. And all of a sudden, it all started falling away. And, I mean, it was quite an exciting turnaround. And, I voted out. Did you vote out as well?
I did vote out, yeah.
And I didn't think it would happen, did you?
No, I was very depressed, actually. And I kept saying, you know, my heart really wants us out, but... You know, my head says we won't. And I kept looking, you know, I'd been tracking the bookies for weeks, you know, and the bookies were just so ridiculous. And I was trying to think, and everyone said, oh, it's the bookies that's right and the polls are wrong because the bookies got it right last time. And I kept thinking, you know, well, bookies, they have to reflect what their book is. They're trying to offset their book. It's not just it's not a straight prediction of what they think will happen.
Yeah.
You know, and if everybody is betting on Leave, you know, they're going to try and make it look like Remain. I don't know. So.
Yeah, it was really oddly bullish then.
It was very odd. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so you know, we opened up this morning, and the FTSE, for example, was down like 8.5, maybe close to 9% at one point. It came back there, but you know, let's look at the charts on this. Let's look at the FTSE. I mean, where will this go down to? Because now we have months. You know, Cameron stepping down after the Leave grabbed it, and so there's more uncertainty now next couple of months. Wait, I mean, are there any levels you can see in the chart? Do you think it's a safe play?
So the FTSE. Okay, so the level to the low this morning.
Yeah.
The level was the 38.2 Fibonacci retracement from the 2009 low.
Okay.
That isn't a coincidence. Now, we spiked through it a couple of times in December and January at the start of the year, and then we bounced back up again and held that level. And you know, 38.2 Fib retracements are kind of messy. Now, I wondered if it could come all the way back, you know, to the I was looking at the 2003 low as well, but it looks like it's held that one. It's holding, you know, quite important moving averages on the weekly. So I'm not sure. On the monthly, I'm not 100% sure that the world is going to end and the FTSE is going to head lower. A weak pound is often good for the FTSE, so we didn't see anything like the move in stocks that we saw in the FTSE because it was supported by a weak pound, because a weak pound makes UK stocks cheaper and more interesting. And I think that there's potential for a bit of an inverse head and shoulders. It's quite a big one, but that would at least send us back, you know, 2-3 quarters of the way to retest the highs from the 2015 high summer. So if not, you know, double top. So I'm not quite bearish yet.
Okay.
And the reaction this morning, you know, it's happened, we voted out, and the world hasn't ended.
So,
if we hold that low, quite often spike lows get retested, but I'm quite optimistic.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm just thinking on a logical level here, and I may be speaking out of the side of my neck, but I'm just thinking now, the European Union is weakened because we were a big net giver of funds to the European Union. The last thing they're going to want to do when their economies are struggling are punish us with tariffs, because we can do the same to them. It will help neither in a country's economy. And I'm thinking what everyone needs now is a strong economy. So they're going to try and facilitate, hopefully, a deal, you know, in the next couple of years, whatever, you know, to get this thing going, to get things going, you know?
Well, literally, just before we started recording, Handelsblatt are reporting that Germany wants an associated partnership with the UK. They sell to us. They're not going to turn their backs on us. They might not like us very much now, but money's money. And, you know, for them, I think we were a bit of a... We held them back. You know, most European countries want closer union. They, you know, they're all in the same currency. They want more integration. And we didn't. We were holding them up, really.
Yeah.
And not being integrated has not helped them. So...
Yeah. I'm looking at this the FTSE chart there, right? We've got two really on a weekly level. Now, have a look at that.
Yes.
We've got, and I don't know what this formation is, you'll probably know, but we've got a spike low at about 57.50, which was in, September last year. Then we had another spike low to 5,500, pretty much.
Yeah, and then that was the left shoulder, then the right shoulder.
Yeah, no, the spike low today.
Then the spike low today could be, the right shoulder forming. Now, that is quite interesting because it says we've probably got another bit of month or two sideways. Or we could just go from here, you know, but it's not... The fact that we held that Fib and it to the... It's really interesting to the pip today. I'm quite interested in it. So
I
like it.
Okay, cool. All right. So what else are we looking at? Go on.
When the US opens, they might go, oh gosh, the world is ending.
Yeah.
But, you know, when people are predicting crashes and Armageddon and all the central banks are ready with all the liquidity in the world, they're almost never going to happen.
Yeah, and do you know what? It was odd that I said the FTSE opened up strongly down, and then Cameron came out and said he's resigning. I thought, oh, here we go, further drop. Didn't. And then we had Mark Carney. Did Mark Carney come out before Cameron?
Because no, he came out after.
Oh, right, okay. I'm surprised by that.
I can't remember. I'm a bit...
Because I think
the other way.
That reassuring tone saying, listen, we've done stress tests, we're fine here, and we've got 250 billion worth of liquidity to pump into the system. Don't worry, guys, we got it, okay? We got it. Yeah. And I thought that helped a lot because I was expecting a dip down on Cameron's resignation, more uncertainty, of course, but it didn't happen. And so I'm thinking maybe this is a, you know, of course, we're still about 5% down, but I think it's a softer landing than we could have had, you know?
Yes.
Okay, so, all right, so that's the FTSE.
That's the FTSE, yeah. So, I'm afraid I'm not so bullish oil for this summer. I think, you know, we've just headed into, we're starting to get into that season where it sells off a bit. We're not quite there yet. I think if I look at gasoline, that's rolled over first. But in US oil, I think from here, there's a good chance that we dip back to about 45. We're at 49 at the moment. Mm-hmm. I think we could potentially dip back to 49 before we rally. Okay. And in the Brent oil, you know, a couple of bucks higher, maybe. I'm just going to sort that out for you. Hold on.
Yeah, I'm looking at, so we're at 48.25. What about now, I think? On the, are we, I'm looking here, UK oil.
Yes.
Mm. And we earlier on today, we did dip down to where were we down at? We're down at dipped down to 48 pretty much. And it's bounced off that. And then it went up to 48. So it's bumbling along there around those levels.
It is. You know? And you see that sell off we had last week. I think we could have another one like that, repeat it. Because really, by rolling over today, we've made a lower high, and that says at least we'll probably get a second leg lower. And but yeah, still it's not bearish, it's just some correction or toppiness sideways. Hardly surprising when you look at what is happening in all the other markets.
Yeah, and it's just readjustment, isn't it? The initial shock of everyone and the worry, and then all of a sudden you get used to it a little bit, then it's a bit more, you know, edginess. But fundamentally, has anything changed? You know, and I heard a report out yesterday saying, I think it was from Saudi or somewhere via Reuters, saying that oil supply demand is coming into equilibrium a bit. So the fundamentals.
It is, and that's that. Yeah, so we're moving away from supply glut into talking about equilibrium, which is better. That means we've stopped going down. I'm not expecting any deep corrections, but I think we could see some.
Yeah.
But I don't know, twice that everyone's tried to say it call the high and the hedge funds have got short again and it's squeezed them out. So, you know, we could see there's a lot of money in floating around and speculating in oil. And when that happens, you know, it gets quite jumpy.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else you're looking at?
Gold. I really like gold. But, it's underperformed. It could be just a massive doji and collapse again. Just because it's not quite the... awful, you know, the world hasn't ended, you know, we've rallied, but we've, you know, given back $50 of our rally already. But I do like gold.
Yeah, well, do you know what, one of my only stocks up today is Keffi Minerals, which are a gold explorer about to be producer, and they're up 10.5%. And so, you know, interesting play there. And in fact, where is gold at the moment? I'm just trying to look at the price of gold here. So,
1320, 1318, 1320.
All right, so it's above 1300.
Yeah, so that's quite interesting with the metals, because all of the metals look the same. Mm-hmm. And the pound and the euro, which we haven't got to yet, have had quite a bit of a recovery off the lows. So that's a weak dollar, mm-hmm. and our currency is appreciating again, and a weak dollar is bullish for commodities. So
okay, all right, well, let's go on to the forex here. What we're looking at
the forex. So, you know, there were some really nasty moves in the pound. There's no way to sugarcoat it. But again, you know, and we are below the March lows again in the pound, which is at 138.30. If against the dollar, if we can bounce back and close back above that level today, that is quite bullish.
Yeah, but what level? But what, 1.38?
The dollar against, in the pound against the dollar, 1.3830. I would like to see it close back above.
Okay, all right. Yeah. All right. So
and, otherwise, there is the potential that we continue lower. And I think that the reason for that is that the if it all gets nasty out there, the market will be pricing in the liquidity from the Bank of England and the potential for a rate cut.
I'm looking at I was on a minute chart, then I've just gone to a daily chart on the table. And yeah, there's that one big massive red candle going down there, and big wicks at the bottom, and not so big at the top, but that was the range from 1.5 down to what, 1.32 almost. And yeah, that's a big one, big move, isn't it? Wow.
In percentage terms, this is a bigger move than the pound made in the exchange, in the crisis when we bounced out of the exchange rate mechanism.
Was it?
So this is how, it's a massive one-day move, massive one-day move. Yeah. And against some other currencies like the yen, it was even bigger. So when you see it, when really big moves like that happen, and this happens a lot in stocks, afterwards, you know, you'll get smaller and smaller ripples and it all on it kind of calms down. But for now, you know, we've had such a huge bounce, you know, we've bounced back 25% off the lows. So it shows there are good buyers there. So there's a good chance that we close back above that earlier low and it stays bullish. So that's bearish for dollar, it's good for commodities. And the world's ending for us. So
I knew a couple of people on Facebook were saying it's annoying because their businesses, the trade, you know, with in euros, they're buying stuff in euros, and it's hard work for them now. Because, but I'm looking at the euro pound against the euro there, and that's an interesting level there. Bounced down, spiked down, but now it's at a support it was at a few days back in March, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's at that level there. So what was that? 1.23.
I'm just grabbing my chart. Hold on.
Yeah, so it's 1.23 there. Seems like an interesting level, 1.23.
Yeah, I think this actually, of all of them, is the most interesting because that has closed back below the April high. That of all the trades, this is my favourite one because really the euro is harmed more than we are by a Brexit. So I think that the euro will continue to decline against the pound from here. And so that's quite good.
Do you know, exactly, like we were saying, I just watched a bit of a report from the BBC, and they were chatting to two officials, and I can't think who they were, in outside Brussels there, two Germans, and they were saying it's bad for, I think the lady said, it's bad for the euro, of course, because they are, you know, Britain is a massive contributor, you know, money-wise to the EU. And so, of course, surely the euro will weaken now. So that will, you know, against the pound, won't it? And come back a bit. So the pound will come back a bit.
And I think more, what to listen out for, I think more will be the fear that other countries will ask for referendums also. So, so you know, France and the Netherlands particularly. So that's the worry.
But it's not the end of the world, is it, Nick?
Absolutely not. No, it's going to take so long to unpick, and they might, you know, the people have chosen this, but the majority of politicians are pro-Europe.
Yeah.
So these are the people that will be negotiating our exit. They won't be doing it in any hurry.
Yeah. And even though it was it was quite close, 51.9 was it, 48.1 or something like that. But I'm thinking, but that takes a lot because, you know, people are more likely to go to the status quo. People hate change generally, so to make a change there's got to be a lot of passionate people out there not liking where we are at the moment, you know. So I think, you know, it's a big move.
And when you consider the campaign, they said that there would be an emergency budget, that people's pensions were at risk, that people's health services were at risk, that, you know, when you consider what they said,
Do you know, that was low blows, mate. And George Osborne, emergency budget. I just thought, do you know what? That really is the lowest of the low. Really trying to scare people, you know, the ordinary working man and woman.
I think it worked for some people as well.
I know, I just think really pathetic. It's like, do you know what? We've been through world wars. We've been through recessions. And, you know, the country isn't in such a bad state. You know, we've survived. And, you know, as far as stock market's concerned, the best I've ever done is just after the last recession. You know, it's the financial crash. So yeah. I think, you know, times like these can throw up opportunities, you know.
I really do think Britain will do really well.
Yeah, really well.
So.
Marvellous. Any other thoughts, Nick?
No. Okay. That's it. I'll send you some charts of what we've talked about.
Lovely. Have a nice weekend,
and
Nick.
And we'll go back to stocks next week.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. Thanks so much, Nick. Speak next week.
Bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now on a Brexit special here, it's almost a regular now. It's Lincoln Moore from Dekel Oil, Executive Director, DKL. Thank you for coming on, Lincoln.
Thank you, Justin. Thanks for having me.
And of course, it's a bit of a bloodbath out there. But, you know, like I said, you know, most stocks are down. I just checked out your share price. It's flat. It's not going with the overall market. And I know you have some positives. So first, before we get into that, Lincoln, just for new listeners, can you describe what you do at Dekel Oil?
Justin, we are a palm oil producer, a profitable palm oil producer based in the Ivory Coast. We operate one of the largest mills in West Africa. We've been going through a period of significant growth in our production, which is translating to growth in our profitability, and you know, and obviously aiming for at the end of the year is moving to a phase of a dividend to shareholders. So nice period of growth for us, all organic. We've got plenty of organic growth left in our mill to come. So well placed.
Yeah, and I suppose people are sort of looking now because there's going to be a bit of time of uncertainty. We have David Cameron resigning off the back of the vote to leave. And so there's going to be a lot of volatility in the market. So I suppose people are looking around for stocks that are a bit insulated from this. And can you go through some of the reasons why you think Dekel Oil, you know, is you know, far removed from the noise, really?
No, exactly. I imagine lots of retail investors are now thinking what to allocate their money into, and I think Dekel Oil is really well positioned, actually, both from a defensive stock position, but also in terms of our growth to come. I mean, you know, in terms of our core business, we produce palm oil in the Ivory Coast and sell the product within the Ivory Coast and through West Africa. So, you know, we don't have any links at all to the UK and indeed into Europe. So any issues about trade between those two countries, which is creating some uncertainty, are very much irrelevant to us. You know, we, of course, are a profitable company. We're cash flow positive, so we're not in need of raising money in pounds to convert to euros, which is the currency in which we trade, which is really important for us. I mean, critically, the palm oil price is a US dollar denominated commodity, and we, as I say, locally sell and deal in euros. So any translation between the US dollar to euro, which at the moment, obviously the strengthening of the US dollar to euro, is positive for us. We, of course, our costs locally, even though we sell in effect in the US dollar denominated currency, we're a euro cost base. And of course, that all translates that the profit that we will show the investors is shown in euros. And of course, when obviously the exchange rates at the moment with the euro strengthening against the pound, when that's translated back to pound, which is of course what we're traded on in AIM, is positive for us as well. So, you know, clearly seems at the moment in general market that the leave stance is going to create some uncertainty. But of course, within the realm of AIM companies, there are some that are going to benefit, and we clearly are one which is not affected from a core business point of view at all, and is benefiting from any weakness in the pound currency in terms of the valuation of our company in pounds. So ironically, it's actually a positive for us.
Yeah, well, do you know what? I'm looking down a screen here. It must be 100 stocks, and I'd say 96% maybe, at a rough guess, are all red and deep red. There's a couple of blue stocks, and you're in green, not moving, a couple of others in green. So people have obviously seen that these companies here are trading in euros and with a US, you know, dollar denomination as well attached, are doing well. So, I mean, some people have already figured out that you maybe are a good place. Let's have a look. Yeah, you've got some volume there today. Okay, marvellous stuff. Well, Lincoln, thanks for coming on, because like I said, it's, you know, you give us a call, and you know, in these times of uncertainty, it's nice, you know, to people to have ideas, investment ideas that can be isolated a bit from this volatility over the next, you know, 3 to 6 months, I suppose. So, yeah, thanks. You go on, sir.
Yeah, as you're saying, within difficult situations, there's obviously opportunities, and we are one that's not affected, and one that's actually going to benefit from any weakness in the pound at the moment. So we're one of the very few that can look at the situation today and say it's a positive for us. So it's important for existing shareholders to understand those dynamics, and particularly new shareholders who are obviously looking for other opportunities to shelter themselves from the volatility. You can look at the dynamics I just talked about and see that, you know, we are going to benefit.
Yeah, okay, come on, give us the three reasons, Lincoln. You know I always like to do this. To round it up, three reasons why anyone should put Dekel Oil on their Vox Markets watch list.
Yeah, very, very, very imminently, we're obviously updating the market on our production, our half-year production, which will be probably, we'll update on the 4th of July, which if investors look back and see how we went the first quarter, you know, we're growing significantly. You know, we expect that the interim profit result for June will be substantially higher than last year. So, you know, it's been a really terrific 6 months of trading for us. And this is all culminating in positive cash flow. And we've indicated numerous times that our plan is to share that cash flow with investors and move towards the dividend program. You know, we obviously benefit that we have a zero corporate tax locally, which does free up that cash flow. And we tend to take advantage of that to start a dividend yield the company as soon as practically possible.
Lovely, Lincoln. Speak to you soon, fella. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Justin. Appreciate it.
That's it for the podcast. Thank you very much for listening. There will be a weekend podcast. I hope you tune in for that. Thanks for listening. Muchos appreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.